for suit?
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal.
Well, I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
Welcome in. It's the second edition of Aural Pleasure, a collection of unique sounds for this week in July. I'm Billy Rutledge, along with Miles Morton and Clay Abels. Guys, we made history with our first podcast the other week, and now we're on top of the podcasting game.
Already? You see, that's what I'm talking about. We start one, now we're already on top, guys.
We have some fans. Eric Shane Cook, our number one fan on Twitter.
Your number one fan. That's your best friend.
Yeah, he's an avid listener of the podcast. And if you want to listen to the podcast, we're now on iTunes, Spreaker, Spotify, Anchor.fm. I mean, we are on all the podcasting sites, so you will not be able to have a lack of knowledge to find us. But guys, how are you doing? I didn't even ask you how you're doing.
I am doing tremendously well. It's the sports season is kind of slowed down, but we have World Cup, so I'm making it right now. I'm just trying to thrive and get to football season.
And Clay, if you could put the mic closer to your mouth and tell us how you got into the building, because you don't work at iHeart, but you somehow managed to get your way onto the show.
Well, I told him I was bringing in pizza. I wore like the Pizza Hut uniform.
I gotcha.
And then as soon as like they opened the door, I just ran straight through. And basically, that was 2 years ago now, so that's how it goes.
And Clay has gotten himself on the show.
That's amazing. I've been good, bro. All I've been doing is sitting at the crib eating pizza and watching what I think is World Cup soccer. I'm not good at what's going on. I have no idea what's going on. I just yell when everybody else yells.
You don't care for 4 years, and no. Now we act like that we're diehard Patriots, and if the USA was in the World Cup,
it's
we'd cheer for them.
Growing soccer town, boys. Professional soccer. Check it out, Louisville City FC.
That's actually what we got up first.
There's no other sports on besides that and the WNBA, so it's a reason to drink beer and watch TV.
So Mitch McConnell was heckled over the weekend in Louisville. We'll get to that. We also have plenty of World Cup soccer to talk about. But Miles, what do we got up first?
Taken from these players in the tournament championship and Luke's MVP. By the way, I think you still wear rings.
It's never coming off.
The ring is never coming off. So what we're here today, and we'll speak about the technicalities about it, is we're here to get back what was wrongfully taken. We're here today to clear names. We're here today to reinstate awards. We're here today to reinstate all those wins, not just some of the wins, all the wins. And by the way, they tried to do this to Penn State, the NCAA did. Remember all that? And Penn State pushed back, and the NCAA caved. We're by here to get all of Louisville's wins. We're here to get Patino's championship back. But more than that, we're here to get these players' good names back. The NCAA is the home of broken promises, broken bones, broken dreams, and just flat out lies.
So the battle against the NCAA continues. That was from WDRB.com, and that is members of the 2013 UofL basketball championship are now suing the NCAA over their lost wins, their lost MVP, their individual awards. And guys, this is just the story that keeps on going. Louisville fans may never stop hearing about this torture.
Hey, man, they're taking our banners. They're coming in here acting like they can do whatever they want. We're taking it back.
Is that a Trump rally?
Make Louisville great again, Clay.
You know what? I don't even know where to start, because I guess I'll start here. One of the ways I got started in radio TV was as a high schooler. I got to film the Luke Hancock and Russ Smith Peyton Steven basketball camp.
Okay.
Fun time. I got to meet all the guys. I know Steven Van Treese pretty well. He's a great dude. I have good times, and we've talked about some of these things that have come up, and they, as you know, as always, they deny the issues. But at what point do we give this up? As I'm going to put myself a wee in here, being a Louisville fan, it was we're almost on 6 years now. It was proven there was an escort service being run out of the dorm. They just got off of allegedly paying a player. I don't know what more these guys need to see. They broke the rules. Now, look, you may disagree with the rules. That's fine. But at the end of the day, they broke the rules. It's their fault. And I'm tired of everybody coming up with a plausible deniability. Andre McGee can't be the only guy in the world who knew that there were escorts coming through there. There were players on the team.
Okay, but Luke Hancock did not know. And that's why these players are suing the NCAA. The university is not suing. Right. They've already failed in their appeals process. And now Luke Hancock, along with Stephen Van Treese, Dang Adele, Tim Henderson, they're all here because they were false. They were wronged, and they did nothing about it. So they feel that their individual achievements, their MVP of the NCAA tournament game, they should all come back because they were wronged. They had nothing to do with Andre McGee and Rick Pitino.
That's great if this was a golf team, but this is a basketball team. Your individual accomplishments go away. When it comes through the team, if you have team rules.
Right, so it's a team sport.
Exactly.
You win as a team, you fail as a team.
Exactly. They broke NCAA rules. They were a team under the NCAA, and they had guys violate the rules. That's the plain and simple of it. They can try to deny it and say, look, we weren't there, but guess what? Your teammates were there, and the team won the championship. Luke Hancock won that most outstanding player because he had 11 or 12 other guys on that team that helped him score points, grab rebounds, get assists. He doesn't get that individual honor without the other guys. I understand he's upset. They're stripping away their title, but it's a team title, and they broke the team rules.
But here's the problem with that, buddy.
In Miles' face right now while you were talking.
Now, remember this. Katina Powell has served no jail time. Andre McGee has served no jail time because when it went to court, what happened? Basically got thrown out. Because why? Lack of evidence. Now, here's my problem. If our judicial system, and last time I checked, the NCAA is not a branch of government, but our judicial system is. Our judicial systems could not find the evidence that even occurred. Because right now, you got two of the main people who were the main violators, Katina Powell and Andre McGee. Any of them in prison? Jail?
No.
Anything? Community service? I know Katina Powell's still tripping over them toothbrushes she was stealing, and she just got evicted not too long ago.
She got in trouble for that.
But that was never... No one ever actually got indicted or jail time or prison time for the actual violation. Now, this is where U of L messed up because they were like, hey, something obviously happened, we guess. Let's punish ourselves. I'm going to tell you right now, if Louisville never punishes herself, nothing
imposing the postseason ban.
Exactly. If Louisville never does anything, nothing happens. The banner stays. Point blank simple because the NCAA could not prove it in court.
Right.
But at the end of the day, you're right. Some rules were broken and things like that. Me personally, because I'm the Prince of Petty, I love the fact that they're suing. Now, are they going to win? No, it's not. But you know what? At the end of the day, dude, we all know this is a dumb penalty. This is a childish and pedantic penalty to take away a championship. That's like me telling Clay, guess what? This is my iPhone now. Your phone is now mine. It's mine. Vacated. But it's your phone, right? You paid a bill, right? That you got your true contacts in there, right? At the end of the day, it's still his phone. So you can take away the piece of cloth, but at the end of the day, baby, I'm still paying that bill.
So it's a false light lawsuit. Luke Hancock feels that he was falsely punished for something that he knew nothing about, and it's something that's going to affect him personally for the rest of his life. I guess he wants some money or he wants something in return. But here's my point on this. I don't think it's going to work. I think it's just going to make people think about this process even more. It seems like Louisville fans were starting to move on, but now we have to go all back. And I'm not going to say we because I'm not a Louisville fan. But I do want to say this. They do have a point. The NCAA is corrupt, unfair, and severely punished individuals who did nothing wrong. And the sad part is they can still get punished by it because they voluntarily joined the Louisville basketball team, which they voluntarily joined the NCAA. So they will function under the NCAA's rules, and they can do nothing about it. No matter how corrupt the NCAA is, it's the only way that you can play college basketball. And these people have already agreed to their standards.
At what point, starting this lawsuit, is like I said when I started the counter argument, at what point do these guys give this up? Look, if they believe they won that championship, great. I got no problem with that. They play the games on the court. They put the time, sweat, effort, everything into it. But the banner's down. As Billy said, and even Miles said, who's on their side, there's no chance this thing's coming back. It's wasted effort. It's a fledgling process that's going to pay off to no end. I don't understand first of all, like I said, breaking the rules in the first place, but even if you thought you didn't break the rules, or the whole team didn't, you're not going to get the banner back. It's wasted effort. I don't understand the whole, let's start up a whole process and then great. Louisville fans can think more about how their team ran a prostitution ring about 5 years ago.
Right. At this point, the banner is, you know,
it's over with. There's no chance. Once they
take figurehead
that thing
for the NCAA.
Once they take that thing down, there is no chance it gets brought back to the rafters.
No, there's still a chance it gets brought back. It's still a chance. Now, I'm not even just talking about this here, because the beautiful thing is, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. And a lot of people don't believe me, but all of the NCAA, the members of the NCAA, the Power Five, all of them are fed up with the NCAA. At the end of the day, that NCAA is going to crumble and crash.
Eventually, yeah.
It really is. That's why I'm all for it, because all this is doing, this lawsuit, win or lose, is putting the NCAA on notice. Even if they lose this, it is going to show not just the public, it's not just going to show the judicial system, it's going to show every other Power Five that, you know what? Duke got away with an issue on their lacrosse team. Now, granted, what happened? Honestly, it's almost the same damn scenario.
It was falsely accused.
It was falsely accused. But it couldn't be. It couldn't be proven in court, right?
Right.
And that's where I'm getting at. That cannot be proven in court, and yet nothing happened to them. Once again, even with us, with U of L, could not be proven in court. It got thrown out.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's kind of like the NFL. They have their own punishment and justice system.
Exactly. So just by them going after it and putting more pressure on the NCAA. And then he made a good point. He brought up Penn State, another sexual issue.
Yeah, but if you watch the press conference, which is an hour long, we played a clip of it. I mean, the guys, the lawyers, Morgan and Morgan, it seemed like a publicity stunt. It seemed like it was just them trying to get their name out there. And the national attention to this will go towards someone standing up to the NCAA, not about Louisville and not about Luke Hancock. Some people will get behind this and say, hey, let's take the NCAA down, like you said, Miles.
That's the final thing I was going to say, exactly what you said, Billy. You hear John Morgan come up there and talk, and look, I've never seen his, you know, career in being a lawyer, but it seems like it's just grandstanding and talking about how broken bones, body. It's like, come on, man. It was a basketball season. Look, they won the championship, but it was taken away because they broke NCAA rules. That was the end of the deal. If you guys have a problem with it, you shouldn't have broke the rules.
So 2013 Louisville basketball team players are now suing the NCAA. Miles, what do we got up next?
Abolish ICE.
No comfort for fascists.
No comfort.
No peace.
No justice.
No peace.
No justice.
No peace.
No justice.
No peace.
Staying in Louisville, that was Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell getting heckled outside of a Louisville restaurant twice this weekend. And that came just a week after his wife was heckled, and she responded back. You heard her saying, leave my husband alone. And we bring this up because it's not only local, but it's something happening in our city this week or last weekend. We had protesters of ICE and counter-protesters show up, over 1,000 people there. And I bring this question to you guys. Is this how we should handle our political discourse in America? I know we disagree with Mitch McConnell, but do we need to confront him outside restaurants and tell him we know where he lives and threaten him because of the things that he supports and doesn't?
What is it, like 100 degrees outside? Player, ain't nothing changed but the weather. Ain't nothing changed but the weather. This ain't new, baby.
Well, yeah, it's happened before.
It's happened over the course of American history. And I hate to say this, as much as it is petty, it is rude, Childish Gambino said it best. This is America, man. And y'all want to use that First Amendment? At the end of the day, you do some funky stuff, people are going to be mad at you. And people are going to come at you, especially in the great city of Louisville. One thing I love about my city is this. If you do something wrong and it affects a multiple people,
they're going to come at you.
So you're proud of this. You don't mind people doing that.
I'm not proud of it, but I understand the culture. I understand why. Because you see, at a certain point, me writing you a letter, you're not hearing that. Me writing you an email, you're not hearing that. Me going to the meetings and standing up and saying that, okay, bro, you're still not hearing it? Where you at? You at McDonald's? Hey, yo, Clay, bro, you suck. I'm sick and tired of you. I know you see my emails, you see my texts, you done seen all this, and you still ignore me? That's fine. I'm going to get in your face. I'm going to get in your grill. And nothing is going to make a change more. When he goes to sleep, like, dang, bro, I can't even eat here. I can't even eat here. And even if his heart is hard, he's still not listening, that message is in his head that, you know what, I can't even get rest without these people getting mad at me.
I don't care what his political opinions are. I don't think anybody has the right to be threatened when they're just trying to go out to eat. It just doesn't seem right at all.
The threatening part, yeah, I think, you know, no matter whether that's through an email, phone call, whatever, you're not supposed to threaten people. But I'm with Miles on this one. At some point, you know, they do the posthumous press conference once a month where they get up and, you know, they talk about how great what they do is, and people can boo them there, but that's really the end of it. I think if you want to make difference with a lot of these guys, you got to drive them crazy. I mean, that's what you have to do, whether it's Mitch McConnell, Matt Bevin, what he said about teachers going back a few months ago. I know, Billy, we were talking about before, what was it, Donald Trump's advisor was getting heckled at dinner.
Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
And, you know, I don't love it, but to be honest, I think I agree with Miles. That's the way you have to make change. You have to just drive these people up the wall until they literally have no option to either make a change or, you know, people never bring this up, stand on that ground even further. They like, look, you guys can come at me from any different direction, but this is what I believe. This is what I'm going to stand for. I think one of the big problems we have in politics now is a lot of these people just take the easy out, whatever best for them or for their political party. If we have people going after them and forcing them and telling them, look, what you're doing is wrong and we're going to heckle you wherever you go, that makes those people say, look, I really either better believe in what I'm saying or I better change it and do what's right for the people. So I agree with Miles on this.
Well, Miles said that this, nothing's changed. This is something that's happened for many years before. And I would say that it has changed a little bit, especially with Trump's presidency. I think it's amplified all this. We aren't more divided than ever. I think we're just seeing the ugly truths that have been there all along. And Trump, another thing that he's done that I think is he's destroyed civility in America. You know, he lies, he bullies, he insults, and he dismisses civility as political correctness and allows people to think that they can speak up and have racism. We've seen people having picnics in the park and people calling about it. People can't get into their local pool and without having people thinking that they don't belong there. And I think this is a lot of it's because of Trump, but I don't agree with approaching people in that kind of manner and not only threatening them, but threatening their family members, trying to get a point across because you haven't gotten your email responded to. Does that make sense?
I feel you. Now, you see, now the threatening, I understand. Now, that's wrong. You shouldn't be threatening. Like, honestly, if Matt Bevin walked through this door right now, I'm not going to tell Matt Bevin that, bro, I will knock you out. I'm not going to say that to him.
Despite his comments about the West End and the chess community.
Hey, this is Kentucky Governor Matt Bevin. I'm here at Nativity Academy. I'm about to go in and meet the members of the West Louisville Chess Club. Not something you necessarily would have thought of when you think of this section of town. And yet,
funny thing was, that was Smoke Town. That was the funny thing that had me. Like, literally, that's near Nulu. That little chess place he was at, that was actually near Nulu, and it had me hurt. It was really funny that even he was like, oh, the West End. But I would tell Matt Bevin to his face, you're a punk and you're a coward. And you are very unknowledgeable when it comes to minority or any urban environment. And you need to be quiet and you need to leave. And do not come back to my community because you are not welcome until you get your act together. But you see, it's things like that that need to be said. And my thing is this, with the Trump rhetoric, a lot of black men you'll meet, you'll hear, they say you hate Trump. Me personally, I'll tell you straight up. I love when people show me who they are. Because when you tell the closet racist to me or the closet bigot or the closet ignorant person who doesn't understand how to communicate with somebody that does not look like them, the closet person will hide that internally. But for you to project your views and say what you want to say, how you want to say it, now I know who you are, now I know how you think, now I can have a conversation with you, whether you like to have it or not. So honestly, I actually enjoy the fact now that people are saying what they want to say, what's really feel and how you really feel in your heart. So now I can be that person to come into your face and say, oh, I feel that's how you really feel? Well, let me tell you something. Let's sit down and have that convo. Since you was talking real big on Twitter, let's talk face to face. Let's see what you're going to do. But you see, with Mitch McConnell, what did he do?
He didn't say anything. He walked away. And that's what I would do if there was an angry mob of people telling me I know where you live and that.
And honestly, that comes to personalities. You might do that. Me personally, and that's just because it's me. If I got a lot of people saying, oh, I know where you live. You did this. Yo, okay, hold up. Whoa. I got my homie right here chilling. My other dude here. I got three people. What's your issue? Let's talk. What's your issue? Let's talk. What's your issue? I have all day. Let's have this conversation right now. But not everybody's about that. Not everybody has that time either.
Yeah, and I don't think everybody could have a conversation and come to an agreement like maybe Miles might. I think some people are just set in their ways.
I don't even think it's partially the Trump era, but I think it's just going back to what we said before with the social media. It is really just broken down barriers between politicians, celebrities, you know, even the president now, as we said with Trump, there's no barrier anymore to get in contact with them. With these people walking out in the public now, like Mitch McConnell, they find out where they are, they go up and talk to them, and there's a lot of benefits to it because you can get your answers and you can heckle them, and maybe you can, like I said, it could be a good thing, I believe, in creating a difference, but it can also be a bad thing because I do believe we should have some separation between people that are the president or are, you know, the Senate Majority Leader. There should be some separation where, you know, you go out and you just do your job, but I think that's the era we're in now. It's just social media, and Trump's pushed it to a whole nother level because he's just said, look, floodgates be open. I'm going on Twitter and saying exactly what I want to say. And once that's happened, I think it's kind of what Miles said. Everybody just starts to tweet a little bit more and talk a little bit more. And now people are kind of combining together instead of having that separation of celebrity, politician, and, you know, people outside of that. Everybody's kind of all in the same weird category.
You want change? You don't go out and heckle your Senate Majority Leader. You go out and vote. That's how you change. You don't vote for people who support the things that you don't want, and you vote for people that do. It's simple as that.
Still calling him a punk. Still gonna call him a punk. Just being real.
Luckily,
I'm a vote, but he's still a punk.
Luckily, no one got hurt in the protest and counter protest over Louisville. Yeah. Miles, what do we got next?
Griezmann with the corner, kicking him, TT arriving on the near post. There's the breakthrough. It's Samuel Umtiti for France. And France now can sniff the World Cup final.
We've got breaking news, and it's good news. All 12 boys and their soccer coach have now been rescued from that flooded cave in Thailand, bringing an end to a more than two-week-long ordeal.
Kieran Trippier has not scored for his country in his career. And that one is in! First career goal for Kieran Trippier! Puts England in front of the semifinal!
So a few sounds there, but all relating to the sport of soccer, something that's been very prevalent, not just in American society this last couple weeks, but all across the world. You had some of the goals from the England and Croatia game, which is, as we are recording, still going on in extra time right now. France beating Belgium the other day. You also had the Thailand coach and kids get out of that cave, which was a national story everywhere.
So happy about that.
Yeah,
that
awesome. I'm glad that everybody was able to come out of there okay. And also Cristiano Ronaldo, the mega superstar in soccer, just like LeBron James and the NBA going to a different team. Ronaldo signs a $340 million deal with Juventus in Italy, $140 million transfer fee as well. Guys, what was your favorite part of the World Cup so far?
My favorite World Cup moment was actually a couple games back, Belgium versus Brazil. I think this is why, you know, if you're just getting into soccer, and, you know, we've had this debate last week about whether soccer was prevalent in Louisville or not. But if you're just getting into soccer, I think the World Cup, watching, anytime you can see Brazil play, you know, they've been the greatest country of all time in terms of success in the World Cup. Seeing them against Belgium, they lost that game, but it's just so tremendous because people always talk about not enough action going on in soccer. Too much kicking the ball around. There's no action.
0-0 results.
There was 2-0 fast into that game, and there was just shot after shot, and the ball movement was tremendous up and down the field. It felt like almost like an NBA game where they're going on a fast break every 5 minutes. That's where I think people can fall in love with soccer, and they do that as well with Louisville City, but you see it on a higher level at the World Cup. The pace of the game, the speed, Belgium versus Brazil, that really got me going. I watched a couple World Cup games before, but now fully engaged going into the final weekend.
Got you going, Clay?
Got you going, yeah.
Yeah, I imagine so. Neymar flopping all over the field. That's what really got me going, right?
That's all I cared about is Neymar flopping too, man. Like, honestly, that was an art form. I'll be real with you. I was half drunk in the middle of the day watching that show. That beautiful show that he just
Day drinking?
It's World Cup. Everybody else is drinking around the world. I might as well join them. I had a Belgium white. it was a good day, but like, dude, Neymar really impressed me with his flopping. I did not know a man could roll that far after being touched to the back of the head. So,
I mean, they're barely touching him and he's freaking out. But I would say flopping is an art form as much as it is just a theatrical kind of thing. You have to be good at it to be able to get to deceive the ref to be able to get a call.
I laugh at the flopping thing because obviously Neymar was going completely overboard. I think they tracked it throughout the World Cup. He had spent 13 minutes in total on the ground during game time, which is
funny.
It is flabbergasting to see that number. However, we forget in the NBA. Throughout the history, almost every great player in the last 25 years has been a flopper, including LeBron James. There is multiple highlight reels that you can look up on YouTube of him consistently flopping. Every offensive guard that I've seen in the last 20 years, I don't know how many pump fakes into shots where they get the bump and the foul. These sports have turned into flopping because, as you said, maybe in a joking manner, but it's turned into an art form because it pays off. You can get the foul in soccer. You can get the free throws in the NBA. I don't blame these guys for doing it because we're rewarding them.
And how everyone was fixated on that Thailand soccer story, there are some viewership numbers coming out that are showing that Americans and English language viewers are watching the World Cup, despite it being on at 10 a.m. and 1 p.m. on Eastern Standard Time Zone. There was more people that watched the round of 16 World Cup, just English language viewers, than the entire Sweet 16 of college basketball. There were more 0.3 million people less in the World Cup watch the round of eight than they did the round of eight in the NBA playoffs. I mean, there are people watching these, and I think that goes to how we watch sports today. I think more people are watching it on their laptop at work. They're watching it while they do other things, maybe on their cell phone. You don't have time to watch a soccer game at 10 a.m. while you're at work. People are watching it on their laptop. And I think that's just kind of a shift to the way that we watch sports, but it also seems like soccer is starting to become more popular here in America.
I'll say this, man. I'm going to call it what it is. I'm going to call a spade a spade. Bro, it's summer. There is nothing going on in the summer.
That's a good point.
And I like all that, like the fact that they got more than the Sweet 16 and the League of Eight or whatever. That's great. But at the end of the day, my sports day is this. It is whatever World Cup or random soccer game is on, the big three with Ice Cube, and the WNBA when Angel McCartney's playing.
So you think it's just a matter of a lack of sports and just wanting to watch anything?
If you put the NFL in the summertime, no one cares about soccer. And I hate to be that guy, but I'm just being 100%
juice. I disagree. I think a lot of people care about soccer. I think the casual fan has gotten much more into this World Cup than maybe, so to say, other ones.
I mean, here's my thing. It's on. It's one of those. My thing is this. The sport is on. It's great. And that's honestly where I'm watching it because I like sports. I don't watch TV. But I cannot. Only reason why I know who Neymar is because of a funny video of all these kids trained to flop like Neymar that was going viral. And I was like, oh, I got to watch this Brazil game to see if that really happens. And it did. And so my day was made. Plus, shout out to Blue Moon for all the Belgian white I drank. I drank like 2 6-packs by myself and my girlfriend's cat. It was a great day.
You have to watch soccer sometimes.
Look, here's why soccer works in the summer. As Miles said, the summer definitely plays a factor. There's not as much going on. And look, you put the NBA in the summer against the NFL, NBA wouldn't do that well. The NFL's just the king, and that's just the bottom line. But here's why soccer works. One, you know how long it's going to be. 90 minutes, couple extra time. You know you can get everything done, an hour and a half, hour to 40 minutes. Baseball, you're going 9 innings. You don't know how long it's going to be. It'll be a 3-hour, 4 game out in the sun. You flip on Fox. You watch the World Cup, you're going to see the best teams in the world going at it. And I think people really learn to appreciate soccer when they watch the World Cup because, as people know, the United States not in the World Cup this year. We actually see what good soccer looks like at the highest level, seeing guys like Neymar, Ronaldo when he was in it, Messi. You see these guys and you're like, oh, okay, soccer's played at a different level over there, and there's an appreciation for it, and maybe we can get there one day. But for the moment, let's sit around, as Miles said, crack a Belgium, and then have a good day.
Ronaldo goes to Juventus, 4 years, $340 million. MLS move in the future possible?
It's not a word. Juventus is not a word.
That's a team.
What does that mean? What is a Juventus?
Juventus is in Italy. It's the number one soccer club. Oh, you want the old school names?
Yes,
you want the Warriors?
I want the Italian Tigers.
You want the Dragons?
How sexy does that sound? Italian Tigers.
He's not wrong, folks. He's not wrong. But I think because of this move, maybe Ronaldo to the MLS in the future is possible. We saw Zlatan go there, David Beckham, Wayne Rooney. I mean, you're seeing these big stars eventually go to the MLS.
He'll do the David Beckham swan song, you know, head out the door after he makes all of his money overseas and he's an international star. The last 3 or 4 years, you know, he'll kind of go out and be like, look, I'm not the same player I once to be. I think he just turned, what is it, 33 this year? So maybe a couple more years over there with Juventus. Comes over 35, 36, goes out to L.A., lives the model lifestyle, and, you know, gets a couple goals. Do what Beckham did. Now, Beckham's a, you know, I mean, he's a hero in the MLS because he was like the first big superstar to come over. So, yeah, why not do it?
Wrapping up, what's the bigger move, LeBron to L.A. or Ronaldo to Juventus?
Oh, internationally, it's Ronaldo. It's not even close.
No one cares about international, Clay.
It's international.
LeBron to L.A. And this is from a Celtic fan. LeBron to L.A. is huge. They felt that in Italy. He is with Juventus. That's cute. It's pretty. He's sexy. Do you understand that these kids in China are cheering LeBron on? You got kids in Africa cheering LeBron on.
But yeah, the whole world watching soccer, Miles.
Look, that's cute. That's pretty. That's fantastic. LeBron James. Literally, if he goes to your team goes from not making the playoffs to a championship caliber team with one trade. Can we say the same about Ronaldo?
I would say both are one-man economies. I think it's significantly a big thing for the country of Italy that Ronaldo is coming there.
They're one-man economies, but you ain't telling me. Bro, I guarantee you Juventus, without me even doing any research, is Juventus still already good? Were they already good before him?
Yeah, they're one of the best.
Okay. So what's the – like, that's the thing. Like, I want to see him come – I want to see Ronaldo. If he's so dang good, I want him to come – to the MLS. What was the team we beat? The American Patriot Revolution, the New England Revolution. Whatever they are. There's some patriotics cute. I want to see him on that team, and then they win the MLS Cup.
Hey, Clay, don't tell Miles this, but soccer is much bigger than the NBA.
Well, look, here's the other thing, too. LeBron goes to the Lakers. Fantastic. He lost them in the finals to the Warriors last year. Now he's going to lose to them in the second round. What's the big deal? They're not going to do anything until they get somebody else. This year is wasted because they're not going to be able to get Kawhi Leonard through a trade. They're not going to give him up. LeBron going there this year is not a big deal.
To your point, you're right, because the Celtics are going to win it all. Continue.
You're listening to Aural Pleasure. You can find us on iTunes, Spotify, Spreaker, all your podcast apps. Make sure you follow us on Twitter to get the links to these apps. I'm at Billy R Sports. Clay, you're at what?
At Clay_Ables.
And Miles, my man, what about you?
Black and Miles on Twitter.
Black and Miles. And what we want to try to do here is we're going to start a segment, and we call it Off My Chest, something I started at my college radio station back in the day at Western Kentucky University. Gives you just a chance to rant, talk about whatever you want, something that's pissed you off. And right before we started recording, Clay came in here, and he was pretty pissed off about something. Clay, what do you want to get off your chest?
Well, look, we're in the age now where, as we've seen, whether it's in politics, sports, entertainment, everybody's trying to market something. We're trying to get out there, put your name out, make something bigger. We're trying to do that with the podcast, using Twitter, Facebook, whatnot. But there is a big company, a pretty large franchise of restaurants called IHOP. Now, people have known them for good 60 years plus of making pancakes. That's what they do. They're open all day. They make the pancakes, the breakfast. And then around, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago, they added the hamburgers, the dinner portion. Fantastic. But nobody goes to IHOP to get hamburgers. They go there to get breakfast. Well, as people know, around a month ago, they decided, brilliant marketing move, we're going to go from IHOP to IHOB, changing the P at the end of the name to be to promote their burgers that they're putting out. Now, when I heard about this, I thought, this is stupid. Then, as I walked around the office and had to deal with every person over the age of 40 years old.
Not sure how you got in the office, by the way, but keep going.
I told you the Pizza Hut thing is the smoother.
Okay.
But anyway, every person was over 40 years old, including none other than Tony Vannetti, lectured me about how this was brilliant marketing. They're getting their name out there. Everybody's going to jump on the IHOB train. People are going to be going there, talking about it, buying the burgers. Well, guess what? It's been 3 weeks. They've today changed their name back to IHOP, and now they're promoting pancakes. Let me ask you guys a question. In the last 3 weeks, how many times have you been to IHOP? Anybody got an answer?
I haven't gone since the name change.
I know how to cook breakfast, so I don't go there.
Nobody, you can get the hamburgers.
I can cook breakfast and hamburgers. I can do both, so I just don't mess with them.
My point is,
Miles is too drunk on Belgian wine.
He's watching the World Cup. My point is, all of these older people think that if you change one letter in the name or you just get your name out there, it's brilliant for marketing, that we're all going to jump on. Well, guess what? The new age of millennials, we have these things called cell phones. We have these ways to communicate across the globe. We can order food 24/7 whenever we want off Postmates, Uber, fast food, whatever. We can get food whenever we want. We're not jumping on your marketing train because you switched it to a P to a B and you already had hamburgers. We knew it. Nobody wanted to eat them. That's why we didn't go there in the first place. So quit changing the name. What are we going to do now? Chick-fil-A. I heard they spell it to F-I-L-E-T. They're going to sell fillets now. Are people going to start going to Chick-fil-A? No, they're not. They're going there for the chicken, just like IHOP with the pancakes. Stop trying to push your crappy burgers down my throat. We didn't want them. That's why none of us went there. And the stupid letter change made no difference. It was a waste of time. Sorry, old people. Come up with better marketing because this isn't going to work.
So you're saying we're not laughing with them. We're laughing at them about their name change.
Oh, 100%. And we had this conversation off air. You and I did. We were like the IHOP thing. We were just like, this is just goofy. And then, of course, Vannetti pulls us into his office and he gives us a lecture about how back in the day QMF did something with, you know, letter changing, or I forget what it was, but he's like, this is brilliant. It gets the name out there. Look, it's not 1987 anymore. We've got stuff, as I said, we can get food whenever we wanted. People knew burgers were at IHOP. Nobody ate them. We got the pancakes when we went there. They changed the name to IHOP, and like I said, nobody here or anyone I know at the many places I've worked at, go hang out, said, look, holy crap, they got burgers now at IHOP. They switched the name up to a P to a B. Now we're jumping on the bandwagon. Nobody cares. It was a wasted effort. Can we all just admit it? It was bad marketing. None of us went there. Forget it. Try something new. Maybe make some better food. How about that? Why don't we go down that direction? Maybe come up with a new breakfast motif. I don't know, but this was goofy and a waste of time, and I'm finally glad it's over. Go back to making your pancakes and leave me alone.
Are you good? You got that off your chest?
Yeah, I'm actually going to go to IHOP now.
Yeah, let's go to IHOP, bro. I want to, like, the cinnamon waffle.
60-cent pancakes.
Now, that makes some sense. They sell pancakes. I'm fine going to get their pancakes, but nobody wanted the burgers in the first place. It's not like they just added burgers. They've been there for 20 years, and nobody ate them. So don't change the letter, because we don't care.
You know what they should have did? And I'm about to make them millions of dollars.
Yeah, go ahead.
Make burger pancakes. Yes.
That's interesting. I could get on board with that.
Just let that into your system. Let that into your heart. You make a sausage patty about as big as a burger. You put bacon, cheese, maple syrup in the middle, and it's in a thick pancake. IHOP, you're welcome.
I'm very curious if any of our listeners have had a burger from IHOP.
I've done that.
And I would like to hear it. So please tweet us and tell us what you think if you have had an IHOP burger. All right, guys, it's time to wrap up the show. As we speak, England and Croatia in the 105th minute, tied at one. Who wins it? Who goes to the World Cup?
England, baby. It's going to be an England-France World Cup final. It's going to overtake, break the ratings for the World Cup final. This is a great young England team. They're going to pull it off in extras, and we're going to have the biggest World Cup on Sunday in the last 30 to 40 years.
Just because I really do not want to see the equivalence of the Warriors and the Cavs when LeBron was there with England and who was it, France? I could care less. Who else is in there? Croatia?
Yeah.
Go Croatia. I don't know where you guys are on the map, but I'm cheering for you. Are they the Crows, the Croatian Crows? What's their mascot?
I don't think they have a mascot. It's just a national team. The USA team doesn't have a mascot.
They're the Crows to me because it goes great. Croatian Crows. Ka-ka, let's go.
Once a week, Oral Pleasure will be delivered to you. iTunes, Spotify, Spreaker, wherever you want to find it, you can listen to us there. And, guys, we want to end the show with something a little bit new, something we're going to do throughout the weeks and throughout all the podcasts. It's we're going to bring the funk back. It's now time for the sounds of the week.
Here's the next pitch, and this is hit well into center field. That one's carrying out at center. It's out of here! Ohtani with a pinch hit home run. Hit it out to the rock pile out there in dead center field. Angels take the lead. It's 4-3.
Griezmann with the corner, kicking him, Titi! Arriving on the near post! There's the breakthrough! It's Samuel Umtiti for France! And France now can sniff the World Cup final.
Guys, I have an issue. My teammate, my close friend, Blake Snell, was not a unanimous selection for the All-Star game. That's a joke. Something like that can't happen. He leads the league in ERA. That means he's given up the fewest amount of runs per nine innings out of any starting pitcher in the league.
Tonight, it is my honor and privilege to announce that I will nominate Judge Brett Kavanaugh to the United States Supreme Court.
Now the pitch. That one hit in the air to left. Deep. Get up. Get up. Get out of here and gone for Aguilar. He did it again.
The Hollywood star was driving his moped when he collided with a car on the Italian island of Sardinia. According to first reports, the car cut Clooney off, hitting him and throwing him to the ground. Clooney has been shooting the new Catch-22 TV series for the past month. The 57-year-old actor was taken to the hospital with suspected trauma to the hips.
Aaron Trippier has not scored for his country in his career. And that one is in! First career goal for Aaron Trippier!
Hardy again ready. Kiermaier bluffs at third. Here's the pitch home. Swinging a line drive up the middle. That's a base hit. Kiermaier scores. D-Rob comes through with the walk-off single. The Rays win a wild one in extras. 10-9, your final score.
We've got breaking news, and it's good news. All 12 boys and their soccer coach have now been rescued from that flooded cave in Thailand, bringing an end to a more than two-week-long ordeal.
The NCAA is the home of broken promises, broken bones, broken dreams, and just flat out lies.
Thank you everybody for listening. We do not own any of the audio or music played today. Credit to ABC News, Fox Sports, and iHeartRadio. And we'll see you guys next time.